Why today?
Let's take it to a judge. Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal has had enough of Obamanomics. And some of the people, by the way, of Fremont, Nebraska, who aren't suing the government, but asking the people of their town to stop giving illegals jobs and shelter. Think they'll hang around? Even General McChrystal's had enough, according to a new article out in Rolling Stone. He says he seized control of the war in Afghanistan by never taking his eye off the real enemy, the wimps in the White House. Is that not the quote of this year so far? Just another day at the office. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Coast to coast and everywhere in between, left, right, in the middle. It's about the conversation, my friends, not the labels. But speaking of wimps in the White House, we start with the barrage of rumors about the White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel, who may hit the eject button sooner rather than later, although 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue says the reports of Emanuel's resignation are absolutely premature. In fact, he himself sent an email to Chip Reed of the National Press Corps saying that it was ridiculous and he had no intention of resigning. But you know my theory about where there's smoke, there's fire. And I had heard from an insider probably weeks ago, maybe even at least a month ago, and I talked about it briefly on America Tonight, that look out for the Blagojevich trial, because this puts Emanuel squarely in the drama. Not that he was going to be dragged down criminally, but that he would definitely be attached to the former governor, who could end up in the slammer on political corruption charges. You know, they have all the reams of tapes to go through. Blago insists he's innocent, but the feds say they have him nailed against the wall, and of course that's what they're trying to do. And Patrick Fitzgerald is the main dude on this. And you remember, if you go way back to the Bush White House, this guy is relentless in his pursuit. Remember Libby, Libby, Libby on the label. I think you're going to get the reference there. He did get his get-out-of-jail card, however. In this case with Blagojevich, it looks like his friends are scattering like cockroaches for the most part. And just in a nutshell, if you go to AmericaTonight.net, I blogged about a little bit today. And one of the things that's starting to come out is that the former congressman, because remember, Emanuel was, of course, a congressman before becoming the White House Chief of Staff. Well, he agreed to sign a letter to the Chicago Tribune supporting Blago as he was about to get blasted in a scathing editorial by that paper, just ripping the governor's head off for self-promotion because he was trying to get the gig again as governor. Strangely enough, after Emanuel's staff asked for a favor in return. Hey, if he's going to do this and give you a shield in the paper, then how about doing a little bit of this? And the favor was just to release the $2 million grant that to a school in Emanuel's district. It was a prep school that was using the money for athletic fields back in 2006. So the whole favor deal is always murky anyway. There's that thin line between what's illegal and, hey, it's just favor. So trading favors does not in any way imply that anything illegal happened between the two, but it absolutely shows a questionable tie between Blago, who might end up in prison, and the right-hand man of the president, which is never a good thing. We live in a world where perception is reality, but the White House is insistent that Emanuel's not resigning. The rumors are ludicrous, ridiculous, and I hear other rumors that Emanuel will go back to the Windy City, run for mayor. So, the president's men, there's some in question. We did our little pink slip thing, and he wasn't on the list for a pink slip, but he's been head-butting with the administration a lot, and he's gotten himself into some controversial crosshairs, too, along the way in the, what has it been now, 18 months or so with Obama. And I really believe if he makes it through this year, he does not make it into next year. Does not. I don't care what they say. as far as trying to deflect it. Maybe he stays through the midterm elections, but I really do not see Rahm Emanuel as the chief of staff anymore in that White House. So that's big news because there's a lot of speculating as to what really is behind it. I'm about the smoke and fire thing. Not always, but in this case, I think there is something to it. All right, speaking of smoke and fire, Faisal Shahzad, you know that name, the guy who tried to blow up half of Times Square. So he was in court spouting off that he'd plead guilty 100 times over, like we care. Go ahead, scream out whatever you want to scream out. You know, this was his moment in the sun because there's been all the pictures of him and the conversation about training in the Pakistani camp and how he assimilated and neighbors saying they were shocked and all that other sidebar stuff. But not too much from Shahzad himself. Naturally, there hasn't been because he was picked up. And the only thing you were really hearing was the attorney general repeatedly saying, Eric Holder, that he's cooperating. Well, this is what he did in court. He called himself a Muslim soldier, defiantly, you know, just screaming it out, and said that his attack was the answer to the U.S. terrorizing Muslim people. He had the white skull cap going down in court. He entered his plea in Manhattan. This is just, what, on the heels of a federal grand jury indicting him on 10 terrorism and weapons counts, all of which pretty much carry a life prison term. That's not a surprise. He pled guilty to all of them. But this was what he said calmly. As he stood there, he said, one has to understand where I'm coming from. I consider myself a Muslim soldier. He revealed that he actually parked his SUV with three separate bombs, hoping that he was going to set off this fertilizer fuel that he had packed up in a gun cabinet, a set of propane tanks, and then gas canisters that we know we talked about rigged with fireworks to just explode in one big fat fireball and kill however many New Yorkers and tourists and whatnot. And he said he was willing to wait to hear a sound, but he didn't hear a sound, so he walked to Grand Central Station and went home. And so he said, it's a war. I'm part of the answer to the U.S. terrorizing Muslims in nations and Muslim nations and the Muslim people. And on behalf of this is a quote from Shahzad, I'm revenging the attack. Living in the United States, Americans only care about their people, but they don't care about the people elsewhere in the world when they die. What a load of crap. And then he made the plea and that statement. He was asked a bunch of questions by the judge to ensure pretty much that he would understand his rights. And then he said he would plead guilty and 100 times more to let the U.S. know that it did not get out of Iraq and Afghanistan to halt, you know, it needs to do that, to halt drone attacks and stop meddling in Muslim lands. And then the big kicker at the end, we will be attacking the United States. His sentencing is scheduled for October 5th. I mean, he's going away forever. We know that. But he got his chance to spew his angry rhetoric out in the courtroom and be quoted all over the place. So he got his 15 minutes plus, sadly. Massive deficits, huge taxes. Where can you duck and run for cover? We'll tell you next in our conversation with Harry Dent. He breaks it all down by the demographics.
The problem.
How do I cook food without power?
How do I light my home with no electricity?
How do I get emergency radio broadcast?
How can I make safe drinking water?
When your power goes out, the solution for cooking, baking, home lighting, listening to the radio, and producing clean water is the Family Emergency Kit from KeroStove. KeroStove has been in business for over 12 years with the largest selection of kerosene stoves and family preparedness supplies in the U.S. Now, get the Family Emergency Kit at KeroStove.com for only $4.29 plus shipping, a savings of nearly $200. It's perfect for off-the-grid living. Call 888-395-1164 today. That's 888 888- 888-395-1164 and ask about weekly specials or check the specials online each week at kerostove.com. Again, call 888-395-1164 or go to kerostove.com. Kero Stove, for family emergency solutions.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Sit up and pay attention to our next guest on America Tonight. He's predicting more than a roller coaster ride when it comes to our economic future. His book, The Great Depression Ahead, has more than a few people talking about demographics and why his theory makes sense. Harry Dent joins us to explain why we should all be worried. I'm worried already. Harry, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Nice to be here, Kate.
Let's jump right into it, right off the bat. Everybody wants to know, when is it that we hit the so-called economic sandbar and hit bottom?
Well, you know, we actually think it's going to hit in the next 2 months. Probably the biggest danger period we have in our cycles and some of the things we're looking at happening is between late July and September. We think there's going to be another crash, much like late 2008, that just all of a sudden this banking crisis just comes back after the government told us, oh, no, we're okay, we fixed everything. They just don't understand that baby boomers have peaked in their spending cycle, something we predicted 20 years ago, that 2008 would see a slowdown, an extended slowdown begin. And we've got debt far greater than anybody's been told. It's not $12 trillion or $13 trillion of the federal debt. It's $102 trillion right out of government statistics when you add up all the private debt, which is far greater, all this stuff that's created in the banking system, and you've got $46 trillion that the government admits would take to fund its Social Security and health care obligations in the future. So this debt is too big for government stimulus to stop, and baby boomers are going to be savers, not spenders, just as the Japanese, and we predicted that in the late 80s. So, you know, we started out. Our first book was The Great Boom Ahead, so we're not pessimistic by nature, but this great boom is coming to an end, and we're telling people you need to protect your money, particularly in stocks and real estate, probably by mid to late July.
Ooh. Okay, so picking up on that thread, in the book you have those compelling arguments you're just kind of mentioning there as to the way you look at the demographics. You were talking about baby boomers. It makes sense to me. It really does. Explain what you see as the obvious cycles of life, not just the baby boomers, but the spending habits as we go along. What are they?
Yeah, this is one of the most predictable things, demographics. People do predictable things as they age. Young people are expensive, hence why we had such inflation in the 1970s when the baby boomers were spending their parents' money in school and college. And then they, you know, they enter the workforce, start working, get married age 26, have kids in their late 20s, early 30s, and earn and spend money raising those kids, getting them through school and college into age 46. That is when the average family, Homer Simpson, peaks in their spending. So the reason we predicted 20 years ago that this boom would end around 2008, we're just taking 1961, the peak of the baby boomers before births turned down, and adding 46 to it. And it says, you know, in 2008, you'd see a slowdown that's going to last, you know, 12 to 14 years, just like we saw in Japan in the 1990s, and we predicted that, and just like we saw in the United States when the Bob Hope generation peaked in the late 60s, and then the Henry Ford generation before that in the roaring 20s. So this happens every 39 to 40 years. We get a major stock peak, and the government always says, oh, no, that's all right. We'll fix it, and you know, right. We'll just stimulate the economy. Next thing you know, you're in an extended downturn. In this case, because of the massive debt, like in the roaring 20s and 30s, you're going to see a depression. You're going to have to restructure about $20 trillion in debt and write off. That's it. So the banking system's going to get hit hard. And if you just get out of the way of this and get into cash and safe investments, everything's going to go down in price. You know, cars and houses and real estate and anything you'd want to buy, from a Maserati to a boat. So we're telling people it's a huge opportunity, but you have to see it coming.
Absolutely. So going down that same path, what would the future depression look like if you had to put it in words for the average person? And how long do you think it lasts this time around?
Well, these things usually take about 5 years to play out. Major financial crises that happened in Southeast Asia, and of course it happened in the 90s in Japan from about 90 to 96, and then 29 to 33 in the United States in the Great Depression. We see things worsening later this year, the economy. We'll probably see the worst of it in 2011, and then what we don't really come out of it, still kind of a hangover into, say, late 2012, early 2013. Then we can see a more sustainable rally and comeback in the economy. But you can't have a recovery in the economy until you deal with this debt issues. It's like people who go through detox. Mm-hmm. You have to get it out of your system. Otherwise, the system can't grow again. And the government's just trying to stimulate the economy, hoping home prices come back, which they're not, mm-hmm. hoping defaults go down, which they're not, even mm-hmm. in the recovery, mm-hmm. Hoping GDP continues up, which our indicators are already showing GDP is going to be very disappointing in late July when it's reported. That's why we think that's one of the key points, along with some other cycles. So this would come, this recovery just isn't sustainable. And we've said that from the beginning. We put out the book in late 2008. We said, yes, the economy is going to go in a deep downturn, but there's going to be a bounce from a strong stimulus plan. But we said, hey, the market's going to go to something like 11,000, and you're going to have to get out. So our indicators short term show that April was not a top in the stock market. We're likely to see a slight new high mid to late July, and we're going to be telling people, get your money out of the stock market, particularly in your retirement plans. And if you've been thinking, oh, should I sell real estate? Yes, sell real estate you don't need, because it's going lower.
As you can imagine, when you're talking about this outrageous deficit, my mind's clicking, and what I'm thinking about is, how inevitable is it that taxes are going to soar? I mean, you're probably talking about, and you were talking about this in your book, maybe 70 to 80%. But when we say that, we're not just saying the fat cats, we're not saying people that have millions and millions of dollars, we're talking about the average middle class person. So if you're making $70,000 and you're getting taxed on 70% of it, you're in the poorhouse, right?
Yeah, we're saying anybody making $7,500 or more is going to see substantial raises in taxes. Same thing in the roaring 20s boom. They lowered taxes because it was a good economy and the government was doing well. But in the 1930s and early 40s, with the Great Depression and World War II, marginal rates went up to 94%. They were 25%. They went up to 94%. Now, they probably won't go up that much this time, but capital gains taxes are going to go up. Taxes on Social Security are going to be probably across income. common. You know, it stops at 100,000 now, and marginal rates are certainly going to go well over 50%. So anything you can do now to protect your investments and your income against taxes, you know, before they kind of stop allowing a lot of things or ruling out things, you need to do it now ahead of this, because yes, taxes will have to go up. And this is already happening in Europe. They were supposed to stimulate their economies, but then these governments got in trouble, and now they're having to cut expenses and raise taxes. We're going to have to do the same thing.
Yeah. What about great advice on what to do with the stock market and especially retirement funds, all that sort of stuff, roll into cash? I read somewhere the other day, in thinking ahead of younger people getting out of college and even people looking for what they're going to do for so-called safe jobs, that it's the people that create their own opportunities. It's kind of like gigonomics, that they're going to fare better in the future. Do you think that's right?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to be forced, like you said, to create their own business, their own job, do what maybe you were doing for a company, but now do it for four or five companies from your home, or find something that's changing in this downturn. A lot of companies are going to have to exit a lot of markets they're in just to survive and cut back and do what they do best and cut expenses, and that's going to create openings. So downturns, the 70s was a great time for entrepreneurs. So was the 1930s. So these type of extended downturns favor entrepreneurial people the most.
So what's your next going to be? It was the Great Depression ahead. Is it going to be We Told You So?
Well, you know, I think we may come out with another book that, you know, talking about, okay, once we have this crash, okay, now what do we do? How does the government restructure things? How do businesses restructure? How do people change? Because this will foster a lot of change. And believe me, if we can get rid of $20 trillion in debt, and that's our best estimate, that's a huge load off of our economy. If home prices can come back down in places like California to $200,000 to $300,000 for a starter home and $700,000 to $800,000, this is good for people, good for young families. So this is going to be painful, but a lot of good reforms. We are going to have to restructure Social Security and health care. We cannot afford the obligations that have already been made. So, you know, there'll be some good things come out of this, because otherwise we're just going to end up like Japan, aging with rising debt. That's not a good formula.
No, I completely agree. One last one. You mentioned houses in and out around here and talking about younger people. And what about people that are a little bit older? Would you say just if you can stay in your house, stay in your house for a while?
Well, you know, it's funny. Some of the people are the most underwater, and that's one of the ticking time bombs we're seeing. More houses are just going underwater, and more people are stopping their mortgage payments because they know it's futile, and they know their home's not going to be worth, I mean, you know, the mortgage is going to be more than the home. If you've got a home that's way underwater, the chances are the bank's going to eventually have to come down and restructure that loan and cut it back down. It's the people that have a home that's largely paid for that if you sold it here and then things go down and you can buy it much lower later, you're going to have real equity. And then we tell people cash is king in this downturn. Bank loans are going to be even harder to get. So only the people that sold their investments in stocks and real estate and stuff and have actual money, they're going to be able to want the ones that can take advantage of the greatest sale on financial assets in history. But people that don't, they're not going to have any capital left because all their assets went down, and they're certainly not going to be able to get a bank loan.
No kidding. I agree. Cash is king. All right, the book is called The Great Depression. I had to pick it up. Harry Dent, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
It's the number one reason for slow and clogged bath drains. That's right. Care. And the number one way to open drains plugged with hair? The drain clog.
Wow.
Stop standing in dirty bath water. Stop using dangerous chemicals. Just push the drain claw past the pop-up in your sink or tub, twist, and pull.
Wow.
You'll be shocked at what this little tool can pull out of your drain. The drain claw has over 100 tiny hooks that claw through hair, toothpaste, and shampoo that slows and clogs your drains. See how it works right now at thedrainclaw.com.
Wow.
The drain claw is made in the USA and is the safest, easiest, most environmentally friendly solution to unclog bath drains. Get one for $6.99 or three for $15. The drain claw can be used over and over. Don't be fooled by substitutes. Buy the original. Buy the drain claw. Order now at thedrainclaw.com. That's the drain claw at thedrainclaw.com.
Bringing you the best in alternative talk radio for over 10 years. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and re-cleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts.
It's easy, but this offer ends June 30th.
Hurry. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy. The best you can buy.
Kate, hanging with all of you as we swing for the fences like my Philadelphia Phillies. Got a crazy Phillies story when they were playing the Twins, a Phillies fan who tripped down the steps. That's like always my biggest nightmare. You know, when you go to a stadium and unfortunately your buddy who told you he had great seats gave you nosebleed seats, so you're going up yet another level, and then the stairs seem to get more narrow. Even if they're not, they just look that way. And you're just going straight up. It's like a rocket. And what goes up has to come down. And I've seen it. I've seen people almost fall. People grab people. Saw it at Arthur Ashe Stadium, which is a great stadium. And you can see from almost anywhere in that stadium. But you definitely have those tiny stairs where somebody can take a header. And that happened. We'll get into that a little bit later. Also coming up, We Can Count. We're going to tell you how much the Jackson estate has generated so far since the pop icon's death. It's a pretty big number, very big number. And speaking of big numbers, Larry King did a telethon to help the people of the U.S. Gulf Coast who are getting slammed from the oil disaster. That was a pretty nice chunk of change, too, that they got on the fly. Kudos to Larry King and CNN for whipping that together. But before we go there, boy, do we have some other things to jump to, like Nebraska, a place called Fremont, Nebraska. I know I've talked about this before, but I started my career in a small town in the state called Kearney, Nebraska. And I was all over that state. I've been to Fremont. That town has about 25,000 people. That's how many people, you know, live there, give or take a few thousand. So voters in that eastern part of Nebraska decided to approve a ban, I'm not surprised, on hiring or renting property to illegal immigrants. Now, the numbers that we have so far, it's about 57% of the voters supported the proposal. And this is unofficial because, you know, they still have to certify the election. But it looks like 57%. Now, here's the thing. There's going to be a lot of court battles over this, at least the American Civil Liberties Union, of course. This is ripe for them. They're saying that they're going to try to block it before it even goes into effect, just like what's happening in Arizona. And this has happened for the past two decades, the people say, that the jobs that are available at Fremont Beef and Hormel meat packing plants just aren't there for the regular people that are in the city and have lived there for a long time because others come in illegally under the wire and will take less money. So there's a low unemployment rate that matches Nebraska's unemployment rate, hovering around 5%. But the people that live there are worried because the future generations aren't getting these jobs, and they're worried that the illegal immigrants could drain their resources. There were enough signatures collected that they had to put it to a public vote. They had to put it once they got the signatures because there were people who wanted to block that, but they couldn't block it. And this is squarely aimed at people who aren't legally in the United States. So now if it goes into effect, you cannot rent to people illegally. There would be some heavy, heavy restrictions on landlords. There are about 165 Hispanics, both legal and illegal, living in Fremont initially. If we go back to 1990, then the number of people jumped up to almost 2,000 now. And these are just guesstimates. But from what the town folks know, census statistics and whatnot, they're saying it's close to 3,000 Hispanics who lived there last year. Now, 3,000 Hispanics compared to almost 500,000 in Arizona doesn't sound like much, but Arizona, we're talking about the whole state. This is one little tiny town of, you know, 25,000 people, and how many of the people here illegally are getting the jobs that aren't going to the teenagers, the people graduating high school who aren't going into college, and other people who would take the jobs in the meatpacking plants? And that's what so many who signed initially said. This is a problem. And then the renters. What will happen is if the measure stands, if the law stands, it's going to require renters or somebody who's a potential renter to apply for a license to rent. The application process would force the Fremont folks to check at the city, to check it if the renters are in the country illegally. They have to find out. If they are found to be illegal, they wouldn't be issued a license. They wouldn't be able to rent. It would also require the businesses to absolutely use the federal E-Verify database to try to ensure that the people doing the hiring are hiring people who are here legally, not illegally. And there have been other places that have passed laws. And what happens is, like this, what happens is they have massive court battles they have to fight, thanks to like the ACLU who swoops in, and the legal challenges break their back. Because they're throwing so much money, so much of the budget toward paying for the attorney's fees and the court hassles and whatnot. Hazleton, Pennsylvania was famous for this. In fact, we were doing America Tonight, and we talked to people from Hazleton. They passed a law in 2006 to fine landlords who rented to illegals and also deny permits to businesses who decided they didn't give a crap and they were going to hire them anyway. And then, not too far from our satellite facility, there's a place called Farmers Branch, maybe 15 minutes outside of Dallas, Texas. And they tried for years to push a ban on landlords renting to illegals. But in all those cases, Hazleton, Pennsylvania, and Farmers Branch, federal judges struck down the ordinances – and they're on appeal. That's where they stand. So in Pennsylvania, it's on appeal, and the same thing with Farmers Branch. And the ACLU said, we're going to sue. We're coming in. We're going to sue. So it might not take effect. It's that same thing. Is it going to be blocked by a judge? And chances are it's going to be blocked by a judge. But there are other cities and other towns that are trying to do the very same thing. It's a great fair or foul question. Before it leaves my lips, and I invite everybody to comment on this, I say it's fair. I say it's fair that towns who are struggling, who see the need to stand up and fight, to stand up and say, hey, we can't do this anymore. I don't care if the person comes from Mexico or Sweden or Ireland or wherever they come from. If they happen to come from mostly Mexico, which is the case in Fremont, so be it. But if they're coming from other places, whoever they are, the illegal situation is such in communities that they're tearing their hair out, they being the people on the city councils, because they're getting all these irate citizens who call up and say they want something done. They don't understand how this is allowed to keep happening over and over again, and nobody does anything. So I say fair. You may disagree. Throw in your two. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. Here's the other thing that I was talking about at the top of the show. I mentioned this. It seems now that Bobby Jindal has had enough. He's had enough with what I was calling Obamanomics these days. But with what's happening to Louisiana as a result of, one, the massive oil spill, that's obvious. But then the six-month freeze on deep water oil and gas drilling. So Jindal and the state attorney decided that they're going to file a legal brief to support a Louisiana-based offshore services company, small company, asking a federal judge to lift the ban. What they're aware of, something that we talked about on America Tonight 2 months ago. Okay, you put this ban, you kick it into effect, because, wow, we have this environmental disaster and we shouldn't have been drilling that deep anyway, why was that happening? So you have this ban, and then you have all these people who are out of work. Now BP is saying they're going to pony up money in a $100 million fund. But the rigs can move out of the Gulf, and they'll get busy with other companies making commitments. You know, there's projects all over the world, in Africa, Brazil, huge projects in Brazil. And that's what's going to happen. So then that means Louisiana is the other part of the equation, because the economy gets dumped on. It's already getting dumped on. They already went through the Katrina thing and the rebuilding phase. Now the environmental disaster of Deepwater Horizon. And then, crazy enough, in the middle of that, you throw on the moratorium, not realizing, okay, we got to freeze everything because we shouldn't be doing this deep water drilling without the right safety regulations in place. And what about the other rigs? But in the meantime, everybody just picks up stakes and they move on. So that kills the economy in Louisiana. And waiting another year or maybe 2 years for rigs turns it into just multiply the disaster. Use any adjective you want to fill in. It means long-term economic crippling results for the people in Louisiana, because they like the oil and gas. They embrace the oil and gas industry because so much of the money comes from it. Yes, the government takes their chunk. The state gets their chunk, and now they aren't. So good for Jindal. First, he has to fight to try to get somebody to help with equipment and get down there and try to ward off what's going into the marshes. And now he's fighting again, and this time it's about the deep water drilling moratorium. Coming up, we're going to talk We Can Count. And boy, do we have some interesting stories for you, including the telethon and the Jackson Estate. Stay with us.
well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I am 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Now you can purify the water and filter the air in your entire house for less. Keep listening for discount information from airandaqua.com. Airandaqua.com has everything from whole house air and water purification systems to air conditioners, shower filters, water testing kits, atmospheric water generators, and much more to keep you and your family healthy. Now, airandaqua.com has developed two value-packed money-saving packages. Package 1, the Pure Whole Home Water Package. It includes three very important elements to purify the water in your whole house. Package 2, the Whole Home Air Package, with an ultraviolet light system that kills 99.9% of airborne bacteria and viruses. Get more details on both of these air and water filter packages at airandaqua.com or call 866-380-AQUA. That's 866-380-2782. GCN listeners, use promo code GCN for an 8% discount. Go to airandaqua.com. That's airandaqua.com. Purify your life today.
Is there a favorite radio station or show that you just love and can't stand to miss? Then you need Replay AV. With Replay AV, you can set up your PC to record your favorite radio shows, podcasts, XM and Sirius radio feeds, even streaming video automatically. More than one favorite? No problem. Replay AV can simultaneously record multiple shows and stations. You never have to miss any of your favorite programs again. Replay AV comes with a built-in media guide to make it easy to find your favorites and a converter for playback in any of the popular formats or burn to CD or DVD. With Replay AV's easy recording wizard, you'll be set up to record quickly. And Replay AV comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Try it, then buy it at replayav.com. GCN listeners save $10 off the retail price by going to replayav.com or click on the Replay AV banner on gcnlive.com. Visit replayav.com. Stream it, record it, keep it with Replay AV.
Oh, yes, indeed. Somebody is watching the World Cup. You know what? The ratings are the highest that they've been in 16 years. 16 years. So that says something. It says not just the Europeans. It says people are running to watch the coverage on, you know, ESPN. They're getting up at crazy hours, or I know people at work are sneaking off or asking, especially if the U.S. is playing, asking if they can bring in a tube and plug it in and watch. And a business I was in when it first started, that's exactly what they did. People were going into a break room so that they could actually huddle around and watch the matches. And it's not just the U.S., but I think the U.S. has something to do with it because the ratings are really soaring for viewers in this country who are embracing soccer. Yeah, I always think they got to be able to take advantage of this, the soccer powers, in some way to attract more people to the game. You see kids playing soccer all over the place, but yet, and I know because I have a beautiful stadium not far from where I live, where soccer is played and some of the greats play it. And I've been there, but I have to say when I've been there, the very few times, There's people there, but it's not packed to the rafters. It's nothing, nothing like a baseball game, nothing like an NFL game. It is a different kind of season, I'll give you that. But maybe there's a way, and if I were in the business, that's what I would be doing. Maybe there's a way to take advantage of this. And speaking of taking advantage, since it is a number thing, boy, Portugal destroyed North Korea 7-0. That is a thrashing. So you know that when we were talking about this last time with North Korea, there were people planted in the audience to seem like they were from North Korea, and apparently that really juiced the guys up. They were paid plants, though, paid by the they were Chinese. They were paid by the Chinese. So Portugal put on the most dominant performance of the World Cup so far, rather, in that rout. The win, just for grins, I'll throw this in, moves Portugal into a second place in Group G with 4 points, 2 behind Brazil. What a great result. North Korean state TV aired live coverage of the match, and that supposedly was a first for a North Korean soccer game taking place anywhere else. So they had to be disappointed. Imagine Kim Jong-il watching that. Donations, donations, baby. Finally, a nice telethon for the people struggling in the Gulf Coast. There were a lot of celebrities that were answering phones and on hand, and it was a two-hour CNN show. They raised $1.3 million. It goes to three charities that are involved to help people, wildlife, and the environment. So when people called in or tweeted in or whatever, they could choose to send their money to either the United Way, the National Wildlife Fund, or the Nature Conservancy. And good for CNN for, like I said, slamming that together and trying to raise the awareness. Speaking of awareness, you don't have to hit us over the head with this. Everybody knows that Michael Jackson's estate is making money since he died. But did you know it's almost $1 billion in revenue since he died last year? The Thriller hitmaker has sold, no joke, 33 million albums around the world. Also, 800,000 copies of albums by the Jackson 5 and the Jacksons since he had his cardiac arrest and then died. That's an incredible amount of cash to be moved so fast. You know, like $392 million, if we broke it down further, was picked up from TV and movie projects, including Michael Jackson's This Is It, which I would recommend to anyone if you liked his music. I know all the other nutball stuff connected to his life is nauseating, but having said that, the documentary is absolutely incredible. So just 2 weeks just a couple weeks before he was supposed to hit the stage in London, and all those dates were canceled. But it's amazing how much money they've been able to put in the coffers of the family estate, I guess, because that's where a lot of it's going since his death. I mean, that part's kind of sickening when you think of Joe Jackson. We talked about him a lot. All right, something else that is interesting. Bernie Madoff spilled the beans, apparently, to some fellow inmates about how much cash is stowed away. So Madoff, if you had to take a guess at what the number is, what would you possibly think? Madoff is bragging, just he can't keep his mouth shut, saying that he has $9 billion stowed away. You know, doesn't he realize his family is caught up in the middle of this because they're taking everything away from the family, which I think the sons knew. I think how could they have worked for him and not had any clue that it was all a Ponzi scheme or it was all dummied up? There is no proof yet. Some prosecutors are trying to get the proof. But the family, their assets are frozen at this point, so do they know where the $9 billion is being stashed? Now, this is just an inmate. So imagine the inmate, you know, shooting this off and probably trying to make a deal for himself. Do you believe him or not? Do you think the Ponzi scheme was actually smart enough to whittle away some money? So is there a place that there are some stolen funds into accounts of, you know, thrown away into accounts of some other people that they can't find so far at this point? For Madoff, it doesn't matter because he's got a life sentence. He will never, ever, ever, ever get out. No way. So if he spills the beans to other people, it doesn't really matter. And these portraits are emerging of him from prison as this hero who keeps company with a lot of the other high-profile inmates. And he's been quoted as saying some other things to inmates like, screw my victims, I carry them for 20 years, now I'm doing 150, that's nice. While his family is just on a little tiny life raft, and if the sons knew, which I think they did, or what about his wife? She's just out there pretty much doing whatever she can defend for herself. Not that I feel anything for the family, but what did he do with the money? Did he funnel it to friends? Where do you think, Matt, he stashed the money? That's why they were trying to go after those Swiss bank accounts, because so many people do that. They put the money there in the Cayman Islands or give it to somebody. Like, figure out a way to wash the money and just hide it. Just hide it through different sources.
I have no idea. Do you think he actually has friends?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure, because I can think of 9 billion. It's billion, not million, by the way. I can think of 9 billion reasons why there would be people who would turn a blind eye and not care, and they would take some of the money. So if he was passing it on, I don't think he has a lot of friends, but if he was going to be able to tell somebody that he was close to, hey, listen, this is what's going down, why don't you take this money? You can take whatever amount, but then get it to my grandkids.
Yeah, it's definitely out of the country, I'd say, for sure.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think it's
out of the jurisdiction of where they could be able to seize it somehow.
That's what I think. I think he had to be spending some time working on that. And the kids, at this point, though, it'd be very tough to get it to the kids without raising some red flags. I don't see how you do that without somebody finding out. All right, here's some quick good news for the end of week in count. Unemployment fell in 37 states in May, based on some of the things that we were talking about earlier with Harry Dent. That's good for the fates and fortunes of a few, but I know people who are still really, really struggling. So nationally, the unemployment rate dipped to 9.7% in May. That's from 9.9% in April. But really, you know what? The drop was pretty much caused because hundreds of thousands of jobless people stopped searching for work. That's why. You know, that's how you get a lot of these statistics. Nevada has the highest jobless rate in the country, marking the first time in more than 4 years that Michigan didn't hold that horrible honor. And Nevada's rate climbed up to 14%. Michigan fell to 13.6. But 41 states and the District of Columbia saw a net increase in jobs. Hopefully a lot of you out there are finding a way to make a little moolah, especially with where we're going with the deficit and taxes, if you know what I mean.